Welcome to a brand new episode of the ZTube podcast, where three friends sit around together and raise money for the children. As always, I'm the child, Zach, and join with me are the much more adultier ones.
Zach.
And?
You think I'm an adult?
That's cute.
I want your yawning bullshit.
You realize this one's opening with you yawning.
That's great.
I don't want your bullshit yawn.
Okay, what episode is this?
139.
Okay. Out of the 139 episodes, you did some of the original ones, and then I took over doing something insane. True. And then you did it one other time.
Yes.
Steve's never done it.
Have I not?
No. You've never done it.
It's always been me trying to figure out something 5 minutes beforehand, and I really just did not have anything this time.
Raising money for the kids is a good cause.
Because we made you stay up till 10 o'clock last night.
It was late. I'm an old man.
What are you going to do when Kayla moves in?
Who's
that fucking night owl?
Yeah. Forget her. Anyways, this past week one was Rooster Teeth's contribution to the Extra Life campaign, hashtag for the kids, and they raised
1.4
during the 24-hour stream, it was 1.42 million. As of right now, while Jeremy's doing his stream, I think he's up to 1.47? Maybe.
It's pretty freaking great.
Over $1.4 million.
Yeah. And, you can still donate to Extra Life. All the money is going to Dell's Children's Hospital or Dell's Children Miracle Network, which is what Rooster Teeth mainly raises money for. Or you can find a local charity. Donate that way and celebrate, you know, people playing video games for the good of children.
For the kids.
Yeah.
Playing video games, playing Dungeons and Dragons, Too Spooky, whatever you classify that as.
Game shows, board games.
Poker.
Greatest trivia thing that came out of Too Spooky was Mariel the Leet Crab.
Yeah.
Anytime $1,337 was raised, she would spin the wheel as the Leet Crab.
It was pretty great. Just watching, as always. Like, again, the joke of like, oh, they're going to die this year. Because it's like, all right, so we've updated from a taser to
a stun baton.
To a stun baton.
The shock baton that on Amazon has a review that says someone died from this.
No, that was the cattle prod.
No, that was the shock baton.
Oh, it was the shock baton?
The cattle prod's not as strong as the shock baton.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then tase
fist. Why is that a thing?
Like, the cattle prod's just supposed to annoy livestock. The shock baton's supposed to incapacitate a human being.
Good times.
That's insane.
Good times. Anyways. Yeah,
it was a grand old day.
Yeah. I have not looked at the notes yet. Even though I added things to it, I just didn't pay attention to what
you just ignored. You just pretended not to be able to read.
You know, it happens. It honestly happens some days. You just never know. Alrighty. So first up on the Z2 docket is the Xbox XO18 recap. So for those of you that don't know, Xbox did their first ever like solo conference.
They've done this before, but it was like years ago.
Okay.
Like, they haven't done one since the 360 era.
So this was held in Mexico City, and I'm kind of bummed because they gave out like, or they were selling like custom controllers, and they were like Sugar Skull Day of the Dead controllers.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I'm like, well, fuck this. So some of the big things that happened: Microsoft buys Brian Fargo's In Exile Entertainment. So these are the guys that have made Wasteland and the Bard's Tale series.
And single player games.
Yep.
I think Wasteland's single player. Pretty sure it is.
Executive Matt Booty. Great name. We're excited to have the team, the people, the craft. I'm not retiring anymore soon, even though he previously announced he would. It's amazing what
funding does.
Yeah. Microsoft also announced that they acquired Obsidian Entertainment.
That's the big one.
Yeah. So these are the guys who have made Fallout New Vegas, South Park Stick of Truth, and Pillars of Eternity. Microsoft said it will let the studio preserve its unique culture and build on its talent vision to fully realize their creative ambitions. Both Obsidian and In Exile are going to operate independently of one another. And these two new studios now join the 13 different Microsoft first-party development teams.
Yeah, Microsoft went, after the whole Xbox One like the biggest criticism is that what exclusives does Xbox have? You have Gears, Halo, Forza. That's about it.
That Sea one fighting game.
Yeah, Killer Instinct. But it's like there's no like blockbuster single player games really. So what do? They go and buy up all these studios.
But Zach, single player games don't sell. It's all about that multiplayer stuff.
What's that? I hear Rockstar cackling somewhere.
Those single player linear games are what matters. Looking at you, Uncharted. You'll forever be in my heart.
Uncharted? I didn't pick you for an Uncharted person.
I love Uncharted.
I've never seen you play an Uncharted game.
It's great.
Ever.
This is when I wasn't living with you guys. I never played the last one, but I played the first three.
And we've had discussions about you saying you're not a fan of the Uncharted series.
Well, in the vein of like Uncharted and Tomb Raider, the exact thing. It's like, oh, Tomb Raider ripped off Uncharted and Uncharted ripped off Tomb Raider. And I give shit to Uncharted because no matter what, you're going to find an ancient civilization temple and then there's a box with wheels.
There's a convenient cart.
I love Uncharted. I also really do want to play the Tomb Raider games, but I just don't have time. I didn't play any video games this week other than Octopath Traveler yesterday.
I'm surprised you never asked to play Siege once.
I've been busy. I've been going to bed at 7. This is great. I'm actually sleeping like 7 hours now.
And you questioned when I said, yeah, maybe I'm going to start watching some things on my own.
I told you you could start doing that now.
You told me one show.
Because I started watching
the rest. Every other time, I'm like, maybe I'll watch this by myself. But I'm here. Maybe I'll watch this by myself. But I'm here.
But I did the same thing. Or you did the same thing to me. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to start watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine by myself.
And then we started watching it. And then you started going to bed at 7.
Yeah. I'm tired.
And then I would jump in like every 3 episodes now because that's when I get home.
Yeah, I really want to watch Riverdale. Zach.
I don't know. I can't. Something about this season, I'm just like, I fucking can't deal with this. All right,
that's permission. We're watching it by ourselves.
Go for it. I'm just like, I think like the whole like just trying to throw in this whole demon bullshit is like, I fucking can't deal with this anymore.
I'm so excited because the flashback episode aired last week.
God, just the mafia was one thing, but this is like, it's just too much out of left field.
But Fight Club in the prison basement.
And the DILF squad versus the Legion of Doom. But now, the DILF Squad and Legion of Doom have joined forces.
We're just going to go back to where you guys started with the first season. I jumped in for season 2. And then I'm like, nope, I can't. I can't do this now.
It's a shame, Zach.
Well,
other things from XO18. Crackdown 3 officially has a ship date, February 15th, 2019. And it's also shown the multiplayer mode called Wrecking Zone. In Wrecking Zone, environmental destruction is a weapon and you can use it to take down your enemies. It's been developed by Microsoft Studios in collaboration with Sumo Digital and Elbow Rocket. In Crackdown 3, you'll bring superpowered agents to the New Providence and action-packed world. I'm surprised this game is finally coming out, to be perfectly honest.
Let's not say it's come out until it comes out.
Yeah.
Because there's still a chance that it'll get delayed again.
So Crackdown 3 will also be an enhanced style for the Xbox One, which joins other titles like Just Cause 4, Sea of Thieves, Save Decay 2, and the other 327 enhanced titles. In addition to that, they added PUBG to Xbox Game Pass. Rest in peace, PUBG.
Lunch got eaten so fast.
Black Ops 4 exists now, and
Battlefield's gonna drop it.
For next
Fortnite.
Year.
Fortnite. Really?
Yeah.
Is that coming with launch? Really?
No.
Wow.
It's totally separate.
It's like I feel like it's kind of calmed down a bit, but it's still huge. Like, you don't hear people talking about it every single day now. It's more of like they're off
clearly
doing their own thing.
You don't work in a middle school.
No, I don't. So I don't have to hear about
Anyone
Fortnite.
Says Fortnite, they have to do 10 push-ups now. It's gotten that bad.
Yeah, you haven't gone the Shriner approach of learning position?
No, just
gonna
10
learn
push-ups.
Today.
All right, so other things on Games Pass. Thief of Thieves is available. Ori and the Blind Forest.
Wait, Thief of Thieves?
Yes.
That's a title?
Yes.
God, Greg Miller is right. They're literally just like coming up with bullshit names now for kids.
Kingdom 2 Crowns, Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice is also now on Games Pass.
Great game. Should
Agents of Mayhem is going. MXGP3, Thomas Was Alone, which is a fantastic game. I still need to finish. And then there's going to be a really big indie market for Games Pass with Aftercharge, Supermarket Shriek, Mutant Year Zero, Pathologic 2, The Good Life, Void Bastards, and Secret Neighbor. And next year, Ori and the Will of the Wisps will be added. And Black Friday deals, you can get $100 off or $10 off. It's just something. Forza expansion pack, Fortune Island expansion, which will take players to a remote island on the British Isles, where they will encounter extreme conditions, including fierce lightning storms, perilous cliffside dirt roads, and sweeping paved mountain switchbacks under the glow of the Aurora Borealis.
Neat.
It's not as cool as the Forza 3 expansion when they added Hot Wheels.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool. That's another game I want to play eventually. Minecraft Marketplace expansion. There's going to be pandas in the game.
Because why not?
It's going to be pandas and cats at war. That's literally the tag for it.
There's going to be a competitive Sea of Thieves mode called Arena, which will be the free 5th content update since launch. And it'll have crews test their pirating skills in fast-paced matches against rival crews. And they will also have a new trading company, the Sea Dogs, which will offer new goals, rewards, and opportunities to progress to Pirate Legend. Save Decay 2 has a Zed Hunter pack, so there's a new update and expansion for that game. Void Bastards is a new exclusive on the Xbox, since it's inspired by Bioshock and System Shock 2. It's a strategy shooter. They'll test your wits as well as exercise your aim, which I do not have. Let's see. In this game, your job is to lead the misfit prisoners of the Void Ark through the derelict spaceships and myriad dangers of the Sargasso Nebula. You have to choose where to go, master combat, manage ship controls, scavenge supplies, and craft improvised tools. The campaign will last 12 to 15 hours. Let's see. Downloadable content coming for Shadow of Tomb Raider. In the
Forge.
Yes. New attack modes and weapons. Microsoft also is adding visual enhancements to Battlefield 5. Capcom showed off Devil May Cry 5's Void mode, which is a training mode, and it lets you experiment with moves and attacks, and you can practice in the Void mode without damaging your Devil Breaker ability. You can use the Sweet Surrender Devil Breaker to heal yourself in combat, and you can also use Mega Man's arm in the game.
That game's going to be just fucking balls to the wall, and I can't wait.
Bandai Namco has added 2 new Dragon Ball Fighters, Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Vegeta, and Golden Frieza to the Jump Force roster. These characters will have superpower modes and special moves. Kingdom Hearts 3 has the Winnie the Pooh as a new character, and Microsoft has said it is adding Final Fantasy 13, 13 2, and Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 to its backwards compatibility list for Xbox One X.
How dare? How dare? You just quickly glaze over Kingdom Hearts 3.
It's one sentence.
Yeah, you read one sentence. I've watched it like 5 times already. So fuck you.
Xbox One support for mouse and keyboard will arrive next week. There are a bunch of games like Fortnite, Vigor, War, Thunder, X-Morph, Defense, and other that will support mouse and keyboard. Fortnite will only match players who use mouse and keyboard function in the same match, meaning it won't mix mouse and keyboard and Xbox controller players in the same match. It'll be effective on November 14th.
Expected results.
sorry. Just like brain farted. Xbox's #give with Xbox campaign will donate $5 of Xbox products for every photo shared on social media about what gaming together means with the hashtag. The donations will be split among 4 inspirational charities: Child's Play, Gamers Outreach, Special Effect, and Operation Supply Drop.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That's it. Show's over. Bye, guys.
Oh, I will remember this betrayal of Kingdom Hearts.
Well, you can talk about it now. Go.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. That article has nothing, bare minimum details of what that trailer had. They added Winnie the Pooh. That's just the surface. The surface of that trailer.
Keep going. I'm going to talk about Star Wars later. Keep going.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They hurt my heart for Demyx. I hated that motherfucker. Hated him with his dance water dance. Fucking boss fight was bullshit. But they made me cry for him. Maybe bringing Shion back, which I'm going to cry more.
Cry in late time.
Winnie the Pooh is just fucking Winnie the Pooh. Come on, it's 100 Acre Woods. How can you not love 100 Acre Woods? Oh, I want the gif from Christopher Robin so much, and that just out of nowhere, just Winnie the Pooh pulls out lightsabers. Just, I don't even care if it has context. Like, so he could be walking away, and then all of a sudden,
General Kenobi.
There's just so much to unpack in the trailer, though, in a minute and a half.
Seems like XO18 was pretty much what everybody expected. No super huge announcements. Just some kind of like, hey, here's some fun details. Here's a couple trailers.
Yeah, it's kind of like how PSX was in the past few years. And I'm kind of glad PSX skipped this year because it's just like...
Yeah, they had enough. It's like, well, we could show Death Stranding again, I guess. You
remember that guy with the flute? Am I right?
What if we put everybody in a church for 5 minutes and then move them into a conference center? 20 minutes
to move you.
And then show three things after that. PSX.
They could just turn Tetris Effect off.
They could just put Greg Miller in the VR headset on stage just playing Tetris Effect. Showed off
Beat Saber. That's coming with PS4 VR.
Yeah.
You know what's never going to be shown off? The rest of Final Fantasy 15. So R.I.P. Final Fantasy 15's anniversary event happened this past week. Made me sad.
Anniversary event is like...
It was their anniversary announcement.
It's very weird. So it was a conference. It's a very weird announcement. But.
So Comrades is going to be a standalone game, much in the vein like how Fortnite has been two separate games. You can still earn achievements, I think, in the combined version, but... with them just like working on Comrades, it's almost like a Destiny-esque light MMO RPG. It's like, oh, you go out and dick around with your friends and hunt monsters, and that's all you do. There's kind of a story, but it's just dicking around with your friends the entire time. It's like,
just go play Final Fantasy 14. You'll get a better experience.
There is going to be a Final Fantasy 14 update to the game as well.
No surprise.
And then more details about Episode Arden. So starting with Episode Arden... it's going to be releasing in March 2019. Production is continuing on unlike the other Dawn of the Future DLCs, which we'll talk about. Episode Arden takes place 30 years prior to the main story and does include Insomnia, Younger, Verstale, Regis are both present. I forgot how to pronounce these names. There is a trailer for it as well on YouTube. The rest of the Dawn of the Future DLC, such as Episode Lunafreya, Arena, and Arena. Noctis, are canceled. They are no longer in production, and Final Fantasy XV's journey will conclude with Episode Arden. The Final Fantasy XV development team wish to thank all the players who have taken this journey with them and will celebrate the experience with fans to the end. There's an animation. The Episode Zero Arden prologue will be premiered at a Kingsglaive re-showing in Japan, which is really cool. Comrades DLC. You will fight such creatures as Gilgamesh, Cerberus, Omega, Molossine, Kings of Yore, such as Fierce, Rogue, and Mystic. There are 10 new boss battles, costumes, and weapons. It's playable without the main game. You have avatar creation, much like in the attached version from 15, photo viewing tool, and other functions that are still going to be available. Old trophies will not be available via the old version. Shit. That means I have to go unlock those. God damn it, that's next month. Old version of Comrades to be made unavailable, but the new version will be available for existing owners. No standalone version of Comrades to be released for Windows Edition, but content will be provided via updates. There is a season pass. It will be $9.99 with taxes.
So, like, one thing?
Yeah.
That's a very cheap season pass.
So, Final Fantasy 15 has a crossover collaboration with Final Fantasy 14. It features Garuda from 14. Each Chocobro gets a new costume, and there's a new collaboration quest kind of in the same vein that they did a couple weeks back. They added a new story DLC, just super under the radar, which was really cool. Hajime Tabata has resigned from Luminous Productions and Square Enix. This was part of the announcement.
Yep.
Nothing was said about the modding tools and level editor that was supposed to come with the Anniversary Edition update. And yeah, that's the end of the game.
people are upset that this was their anniversary announcement, but at the same time, how else do you announce this, really, without like stirring up rumors? It's like, yeah, it's like, sorry, nothing else is coming out, the guy's leaving,
just put out a tweet.
Yeah, I get like a blog post or something, but
in a sense, it's a bit of a middle finger, just because they've been hyping the stream up as the anniversary stream, and it's just like, oh man, we can't wait to tell you guys about all this, when they had a clear 2-year projected plan a year ago.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
There's a lot of speculation going on, like why Tabata left, and Jared Petty put it in a good perspective on Kinda Funny Games Daily this week, where his idea was that he'd been seeing like people like Kojima and a bunch of other like Japanese directors go out and just make their own games.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is his guess was that I tend to agree with him, is that he got like the funding secured recently and went to Square, is like, yo, I'm out. I want to go do something else now.
He probably just like secret meeting with Kojima. He's now actually part of the Death Stranding. Noctis is going
to
be there.
My guess is he wants to make... Well, Tabata's actual announcement is he's going to work on a project he's been wanting to do for a while.
Final Fantasy VII Remake.
But
kidding.
It'd be cool to see like what he actually comes up with himself when he's not, you know, fixing other people's projects.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird heavy hand with everything that Tetsuya Nomura left from Final Fantasy XV from that development phase. And, you know, it's a bummer that some of those visions were never... release, such as the musical version of Final Fantasy 15.
Was that going
inspired
to be
by Les Mis? Yeah, he was about to scrap the entire project.
God.
Even then, like, from 13 versus to where we landed in 15 has been a crazy journey.
Yeah, I mean, without Tabata, we probably wouldn't have gotten 15.
Yep. And now I'm just going to go play 13.
Again.
Yep, it's backwards compatible. Let's go.
Pretty as shit.
It'll look grainy because it's like a decade old, but you know what?
Well, they said it gets an enhanced update.
It'll be great. Can't wait to finally get those last two achievements. Collect every item in the game. Yes.
Start from scratch.
Yeah. I think this is the third time I'm attempting this. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I mean, 15 was a good game. I didn't get into it as much as you did. But...
First 2/3 of that game, awesome. Last third,
But then they released the 13-2 update.
I wouldn't even say the last third. I'd say just the one chapter was not great. And then the ending was amazing.
All of the endings. Pretty solid. I really just wonder now, like, I'm sure there's, like, NDAs to hell, but just, like, what episode Lunafreya would have been, what episode Noctis would have been.
What was Arnea going to be?
I think hers would have been how she met up with Wedge and the other Star Wars character, Biggs. Yeah, sorry. It's the only thing I can always remember. Even though they've been continuous characters in all the games, they're the two Star Wars characters. When you have someone like Noctis and then you meet Wedge and Biggs, I mean, it's kind of like a, all right, you two are out of place.
Something doesn't
align. Prompto here. Over there, and Aranea,
or Ignis,
and Lunafreya, but Wedge. And Biggs, where the fuck is your X-Wings? Come on, guys.
It could be nicknames.
No, that's their actual names.
It could be nicknames.
Since, like, Final Fantasy VI?
Right.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that's their full name. I don't see... their person could just say, your name's Wedge. No last name? Nah, just Wedge. What about you? I'm Biggs.
Sid. Been in every Final Fantasy game, but not really. And then there's Sidney over there. They changed her goddamn name because they thought the Western audience wouldn't understand. Because it was supposed to be C-I-D-N-E-Y. Because she's Sid.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Cindy.
It's Cindy.
Cindy instead of Sidney.
But then there's still Sid.
Yeah. There's old man Sid.
Alrighty. Moving forward. I lost my notes. Found my notes. Avengers 4 runtime. It's going to be like 3 hours, mm-hmm. right?
Currently it is.
I'm not opening the article. I just remember.
One of the Russo brothers was in an interview and he said, yeah, it's up to currently 3 hours long.
See, I really wonder, like...
what scenes do they cut now?
Or are they going to be like, here's the 3-hour version. Good luck.
Maybe.
I would watch.
You know, people would still watch a 3-hour version.
Yeah, like Lord of the Rings. And look at the people that still are hunkering down over the fabled Snyder cut of Justice League. Where is it? It was supposed to be 3 hours. Happen. Or sat down through the 3-hour version of Batman versus Superman. That was good. Or that was good. But it's just like, all right. Cool, guys.
Yeah. Have fun trying to edit that one.
What's the missing half hour of the movie going to be?
Yeah. There will be that like cut of like, I feel like there was probably more here.
What movie was it? Hateful Eight, that actually had an intermission because it was 3 hours long.
So freaking long.
Yeah, well, it was... The intermission was to make the movie shorter. Because they went through the first half, and there was an intermission of Tarantino explaining what certain characters did in a time period to cut the movie shorter. So it was like, Samuel Jackson did this. Meanwhile, these characters did this.
Oh, no. There's a version of the film. I think the Alamo showed this. Like, it was on old film reel.
Yeah, the one filmed on
70 millimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's just like intermission. Go back to your seats in 15 minutes.
Also, and then they actually had to change the
reel.
Yeah. Because it was on multiple reels. But The Hateful Eight, it actually had an intermission that was there to make the movie a little shorter to explain what happened in between the two halves, instead of just like this scene where this guy gets shot and then immediately they're all cleaned up, these guys are off over here doing that. The intermission was meanwhile, while this is going on, to cut down about half an hour from this movie. Like, these guys were over here taking care of this situation, these guys started doing this.
Well, it's kind of like a Lord of the Rings, where you vastly underestimate how long they were walking to Mordor.
Yeah.
The entire time. Like, years pass.
Or the first time you watch it and you think it's over about 5 times before you just stop trying to guess when it's over.
That was Return of the King. It's like, oh, that's a weird place.
Gone. Okay, cool. Nice ending.
We're done.
Sam's future. Okay, hold on. Cool.
Fade to black again.
All right. Weird to end on Sam's future, but all right. Oh, wait. No, Mary and Pippin.
Well, it's kind of like how... what was it? They even got rid of parts. Like, the Shire was supposed to be completely decimated and turned into an industrial work camp.
God.
Yeah. How's that knowledge? Fucking Morgoth.
Is that in the novel?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Jesus. There's a character named Morgoth, and it still makes me laugh every single time. I had Kayla explain this to me.
Please tell me you had a comb over.
No, Morgoth is a fucking...
Uruk-hai?
No, I think he... Hang on, I'll look it up really quick. I just laugh because of the name.
Nazgul?
It's not a phase, Sauron.
You realize we're all, like, wearing black hair.
This man's literally called the Black Hand of Sauron.
We're all goth here.
So,
do you
Morgoth,
see the BDSM guy, the Mouth of Sauron? Come on.
So Morgoth, Baugleer, originally known as Melkor, is a character from Tolkien's Legendarium.
So close to Metalcore.
He is the main character, or the main antagonist of the Silmarillion and the Children of Húrin, and is mentioned briefly in Lord of the Rings. He also goes by the names Melkor, Belagor, Arun, Melko, Morgoth, Morgoth, Black Enemy, Baugleer, Belgirth, the Enemy, the Mirror, the Corrupter, the Prime Dark Lord.
Half of his nicknames sound like banks.
Yes, I love going to the Prime Dark Lord bank.
One of them's what, Melko?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bank at Belko.
And he's one of the ones that was like the immortal spirits existing before all of creation.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Fun fact of the day, if anyone cares.
Did you mean he's when you were reading? Did you mean he was the antagonist of the Silmarillion?
Yeah, Silmarillion.
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 Silmarillion. It's the Silmarillion.
You say tomato.
I say
tomato because it's fucking tomato.
Hey man, correcting my pronunciation is actually like a form of ableism. It hurts.
Fuck yourself. If the fact that I correct you on saying
Tumblr.
Tomato. Because I'm saying,
I accept.
I'm saving you from the future when people will be a lot worse. If you walk into a sandwich shop, can I get that sandwich with no tomato? Get the fuck out.
No, it's like, all right, whatever.
You clearly have not worked at a sandwich shop. People are not that nice.
Not really.
I hated 90% of people I worked with because they were all assholes.
So Tom Hiddleston is going to come back as Loki. Via a Disney streaming show. So this kind of corresponds with all those rumors previously where they said that, oh, look, we're going to do a Loki series and we're going to do a Scarlet Witch series. The actor posted an image on Twitter displaying the text, Loki, more stories to tell, more mischief to make, more to come. Well, that's it, really.
Yeah.
A lot of people are thinking Loki faked his death because in Avengers 3, Avengers 3, you know, he's making that pledge. Yeah, and he's looking at him.
Destroyed.
But he stabs Thanos with his non-dominant hand, meaning that's like a mirror image of Loki that wasn't really real. And he's actually probably hiding out in the soul world because where else are all the gods going to go? Because they don't have a real heaven anyways. Like, think about Odin just disappearing to butterflies.
Or, alternate theory, he stabbed him with the other hand because that was the most sneaky way he could stab him instead of like, ha! Reach across and stab. Instead, it's kidney stab.
Look, sneaky. I just read the theories, man.
Right. And I'm here to say those theories getting out of control.
Hey, but the that's just a theory.
Internet needs to slow down a little bit.
Just wait till you watch the 3 hours Avengers cut and Loki says those the same exact words. It's like, I could have went for his kidney stab, but...
That's exactly what he did.
Or no, I went for that kidney stab because it wasn't really me.
Stab, stab.
Yeah. I don't know.
Snick it.
So that's really interesting. And then there's also reported rumors that there's going to be a Cassian Andor Star Wars show coming to the Disney streaming service. Actor Diego Luna will reprise his role as Cassian Andor for an untitled live action TV series, which will take place before the events of Rogue One. Because it took place after Rogue One, boy, howdy, do I have questions about how you're going to make a series about space dust.
You'd be one of the Order of the Ren, or the Knights of Ren.
That was a lame theory. Going back to the Star Wars universe,
it's
very special for me, said Diego Luna in a statement on StarWars.com. I have so many memories of the great work we did together and the relationships I made throughout the journey. We have a fantastic future ahead of us, and this exciting format will give us the chance to explore this character more deeply. As with most characters in Rogue One, Cassian Andor seemingly perished. No, he got obliterated.
Seemingly.
The new series will recount the tales of Andor's adventures before the events of Rogue One. StarWars.com describes the TV series as a rousing spy thriller that will explore the tales filled with espionage, daring missions to restore hope to a galaxy in the grip of a ruthless empire. I'm really excited for this just because, like, Cassian and all the Rogue One characters finally show that the Rebellion weren't always, like, gung-ho, happy, we can do everything, good guys.
No! Fuck this! We're gonna die!
They're straight-up terrorists. Which is, you know, I'm not celebrating terrorism, but it shows, like, oh, yeah, this is the other side of the story we never saw. And ever since Rogue One, Disney's been on a warpath. Like, Charles Soule just killed the one commander in Darth Vader. And it's just like, yeah, none of these characters ever existed. They're all dead. Except for Mon Mothma and Leia. But what gets me excited, since this is a prequel, I really hope we get more Bail Organa. Because his actor was super awesome in Revenge of the Sith, super awesome in Rogue One. And then maybe we get like the first few episodes is how he comes to meet K2SO and still have Alan Tudyk voice him. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
Star Wars. Anything can happen
Do
with
you
Star
think
Wars.
They'll ever make a like an Empire-based show?
No. Can't celebrate the bad guys.
No, of course
The books
not.
Are there.
Not even showing like the... Like, kind of how Battlefront 2 was kind of trying to do that, and then they immediately flip-flopped it.
Yeah.
It's like, you could have like, made them gray or something. It's like, no, they're not all bad, but they're still doing bad things.
Well, I was like, yeah, for the Empire, wait, the fuck you mean you're going to blow up my planet or glass my planet? No, that's bad. These are innocent people. Shut up, Paul Blackthorne. You can't tell me what to do. And then,
you know my dad. Except no. You kind of were.
No, Paul Blackthorne was your partner. One of your partners in the series.
Was he? I never played it.
I was the only one that played campaign. I didn't own the... Did you play campaign, Steve?
I played like a couple missions.
Okay, I was the only one that played campaign and I didn't own the game.
Because you were
it was
Star
a
Wars
decent track. Campaign.
Wasn't great, from what I hear.
It was decent.
That he was just like, they painted it in a completely different picture. And then it's just like, nope, it's nothing like that at all.
But for real, you get to play as Kylo Ren. Not that it mattered.
No.
Yeah. All right. Following this, Cassian Andor, the California wildfire destroyed part of Westworld.
Yeah. That's apparently terrible. One of the sets got a... Hang on, let me get the time.
Granted, code. You know, the whole state being on fire is terrible in and of itself.
Horrific over there right now. Like, hopefully they can get this under control. But yeah, the reason I put that on there is like, does that mean they're probably going to have to delay parts of Westworld, or was it just a set they're not planning to use anymore?
Yeah, and when the show already costs like $1 million an episode, it's very like
shit. Could be a while.
Scale back the episode numbers.
It's like, all right, do we need to use this town? Yes? Fuck. We'll have to find a new one. That looks the same.
It's a bummer. Yeah, I keep forgetting Westworld's not back. Like,
well, it came back.
Yeah, but it's not back again.
Well, yeah, because it just ended this year.
I know.
They're not going to be back that quick.
Look, man, Power Rangers only went on like a 6-week hiatus.
Not all shows get their footage shipped to them.
Power Rangers went on a 6-month hiatus.
Sorry.
Every season, they show 8 episodes, 6 months, then finish the season. And then the Christmas and Halloween episodes.
I was wrong.
But now we're in the Hasbro era. Hopefully they don't pull that bullshit. Go back to the original where they didn't split it into 2 seasons and put Super in the middle of the title. And
Super Beast Morphers. Beast Super Morphers?
You never know, because they originally it was Samurai, then Super Samurai, then Megaforce, Super Megaforce. Then Dino Charge, and then Dino Supercharge.
Operation Superdrive. That would be stupid.
I would fucking never watch that show. Because Operation Overdrive is garbage.
Steve and I do a thing now where we refer to the Super Mega Force Rangers by their Sentai counterparts, except for Gia.
They're the Gokaigers and Gia.
Oh, you have Captain Marvelous? Nice. Gokaigers is such a good show.
What is the difference?
Everything.
One's good, one's complete garbage.
Okay.
So in like Super Megaforce, they're like, whoa, we get brand new powers.
They took 2 separate series instead of taking the footage of one and splitting it into 2 and making that 2 seasons. This is also for the 20th anniversary of Power Rangers, that their anniversary season was the 21st season. But they took 2 separate shows that had nothing to do with each other and combined them into one.
And then it's like, look, it's all the legendary Rangers. They never morph.
10 of them take their helmets off. And 5 of them speak. Anniversary.
And then Gokaiger is like a pirate heist adventure, which is awesome.
Them sailing around the galaxy, but then ending up on Earth.
And then being criminals.
And now they're actually heroes.
Well, they were originally criminals.
Well, yeah, they were pirates originally.
Yeah.
They saved the Earth with the power of all the other Sentais.
And Captain Marvelous is marvelous. Like, he has a really cool coat.
He's fabulous. And marvelous. Fabulous. His American counterpart was a fucking model robot who had the smolder.
Patty lips. Yeah, that face exactly.
I was trying to be Blue Steel. It just led to a terrible season.
So, we also got this week in Titans some behind-the-scenes footage or photos. So, we have Jason Todd coming to Titans for the 5th episode, Titans Together.
Well, they already showed him off before the season or the series started.
Mm-hmm.
They had a teaser trailer, can't remember when it was shown off, but it was Dick Grayson and Jason Todd in an elevator together.
Right.
But he was but they weren't in their Robin outfits.
Right, he wasn't in costume.
And just that time, like, yeah, Bat, like, it's awesome, fighting crime, going around, driving the Batmobile. It's like, interesting, Jason Todd. Mm. So you're that Jason Todd.
The one
yeah.
who,
yeah. So,
he wasn't always edgy.
Nah.
Nah, he's straight edgy in Titans, though. He just comes out and just goes, bro. So, after taking out five armed killers with impressive efficiency, Jason Todd, played by Kieran Walters, smirks at the bloodied former partner of Batman and says, wow, Dick Grayson in the flesh. Nice to meet you, bro. I'm the new Robin. And that's when the episode hard cuts and we get the episode Jason Todd next. I can't. I need to get DC Universe. Because if all is said and true, and Titans ends in December, Young Justice starts in December. And
whoop.
And in theory, Doom Patrol won't be too far behind if they're already working on it.
Well, they just did the Doom Patrol episode. That makes me want to get it so bad now.
Just to see Robot Man.
Well, just all of them. Doom Patrol is amazing. So next week, I have a whole week off, so I might go pick up DC Universe then and binge.
Oh, just for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that next week?
Yeah, it is. Not this week.
Right.
Not the week this drops, but the week after.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is pretty early this
week. Kind of crept up because we keep celebrating Christmas too soon.
That's it. Like, it's a Target, and they already have their Christmas shit out. Celebrate the upcoming holiday first.
Nobody gives a
shit. No. So Halloween is October 1st through 31st.
Right.
Then it's Christmas from November 1st to the
it is absolutely
fourth Wednesday. 30th. And then we celebrate Thanksgiving, and then we go back to Christmas.
No. Fuck that noise. It's Halloween, then Thanksgiving. I don't give a shit if you want to buy your Christmas decorations early. Go somewhere else and go to a specialty Christmas shop. Celebrate the first coming holiday.
But here's the thing. No one buys decorations for Thanksgiving.
Plenty of people do.
Okay.
My mom has a whole bin of just Thanksgiving stuff.
Let's drive around the neighborhood. We'll go to the house that always has all of their shit up. Let's see if they have Thanksgiving decorations.
If they have their shit up all the time, they're not going to have Thanksgiving stuff. They're only going to have their Christmas lights year-round.
Well, they did. They went, like, crazy hard on Halloween.
Well, yeah. But have you seen the dude that lives there? I'm not judging him, but based on appearance. But you look at the house and look at him like, yeah, that adds up.
Yeah.
Dude's got face tattoos all over. Like, I'm pretty sure just the whole body covered in tattoos. So you see the house, see him, and you're like, yeah, that's.
Well, it's like how 4th of July gets an extended holiday because everyone buys illegal fireworks and shoots them off for the next 2 weeks.
That's because people are assholes.
But again, you go to Target, and there's Jack Skellington there, and it's like, oh, it's a Halloween decoration. But then you look closer, and he has a big old white beard and red hat.
Shit! You lied to me.
So you have Goth Christmas, which is Halloween, and then you have to celebrate your Christmas.
Just celebrate Thanksgiving first. Don't play Christmas music it is a rule in the Phillips family household, nothing Christmas related until after Thanksgiving.
Oh, I think Cozy already started playing their Christmas music after Halloween.
No, they usually wait till actually about now, because they usually put out a vote of like, are we going to start Christmas music now? And usually about like 13,
well, Ryan's
14.
Already listening to it.
Well, yeah, but there are people who...
Monsters.
Said, there's Target who already has Christmas decorations out. There's monsters out there. Like, I will take a month of Christmas music in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Cool. Nothing before Thanksgiving.
My sock says weatherproof. That's what I was looking at.
Oh, fancy.
I've never seen the bottom of the sock.
Okay.
We don't decorate, so.
Nope.
Well, no.
Well, are you going to put up that bat wreath this year?
Maybe.
It's been in the corner for
a year. Speaking of things that are coming back, Brooklyn Nine-Nine Season 6 premiere update announced. Premiere date announced. January 10th, 2019, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Pacific Time on NBC. We're going to catch up, Steve. We can catch up. The only overarching story that you've missed is Rosa broke up with her boyfriend and Jake and Amy are together.
That. I got that part.
Okay. Now we just need to brace ourselves until Jake and Amy get married.
Which is season four?
Five. So yeah, very exciting. I'm really pumped for that. And, you know, the best thing that I've noticed, I love Terry's character so much. Terry. Just because it's like his character is this like epitome of masculinity, but he's the teddy bear. Like, he draws art, he reads to his baby girls, he doesn't complain about being overnumbered by all the girls, he doesn't complain about trying to get his girls to do quote-unquote boy things because he's the macho man. No, he's just like, no, these are my girls and I love them. I'm like, that's how every parent should act.
Seriously, his girls wanted a princess castle, he built them a goddamn princess castle. He needed Charles's help, but he tried.
There's a scene in Halloween where a teenager is confronting his father, and it's like, but dad, I really love spending time with you and all, but you can't keep pulling me out of my dance lessons for us to go hunting. I really like taking dance classes. Spoiler, they both die, but that's besides the point. It was a really heartwarming moment.
Right before the warm blood left their body.
Gosh. Yeah. All right, Green Lantern, the Green Lantern, number one came out this week by Grant Morrison and Liam Sharp, and Grant Morrison is doing what he does best, just being like, hey, you want to know what this 12-issue series is about? Here's everything you need to know.
It did move very fast in the beginning, where it's like, all right, he set up a little exposition, Hal Jordan, suddenly they're fucking in a field, I'm like,
what? And that's
and then back to the normal.
And that's his. So, Grant, how have you read much Grant Morrison?
Not really.
Have you?
Yeah.
So, Grant Morrison has this really interesting trope. He wrote about it in his Super Gods book. You can buy that like Barnes & Noble or whatever. And he believes that everything in a character's history has happened. All of Silver Age, all of Golden Age, everything is true to their story. And even like the silly stories, like, oh, Batman is wearing a rainbow suit is real because it's like, well, I was using it because Robin broke his arm and I didn't want him to attract fire. Or it's like the Batman of Zur-En-Aa storyline from the Golden Age of comics was like, no, that actually was a secret implant in Batman's brain. So if he ever went crazy, he could become this new persona that was just Batman alone. Or like some of the sillier hijinks things was like, he's been drugged. So even the girl he was with in Hal Jordan was his Silver Age girlfriend love interest at the time prior to Carol. Like, it's just crazy about how much depth there is to this comic. Like, you need annotations to read Grant Morrison.
It's not the depth of it, it's just more the them having a conversation, bringing in groceries, and then bam, fucking in a field. And like, that went from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah. So one of the other really cool things that I noticed is that last page, not the last page you like, but the last page of the anti-monitor lantern or the anti-matter lantern.
Was that a Sinestro Corps Hal Jordan?
No, that's the anti-matter Hal Jordan from 1997 when Grant Morrison was writing Justice League of America.
What the shit?
So again, extreme callbacks of like, is this because, you know, the source wall broke and the Guardian is like, yeah, things are fucked. There's X-ray lanterns,
ultraviolet,
gamma lanterns. It's just like,
oh, cool. So the whole light spectrum.
Yep. Which is cool that this is happening. And now Hal Jordan gets to do procedural space cop. Like, every time he goes to stop criminals, he goes police. And I'm like, oh, it's taking him back to his roots. This is really cool.
He's going
to
become like Judge Dredd Lantern.
I am the space law.
You can't do this to me. It's against law. I am the law. But you're not.
But we're in space.
I am the law.
I think the coolest thing, too, is just that since the series is just like Grant Morrison, like the last page is a double page spread. And that's like, here's all the things you can expect. Have fun. It's just like, ooh, what is going to happen? And I'm sure once, you know, all 12 issues come out, it's going to read so much better because that's what Grant Morrison does.
And even then, you'll probably still need your annotation because Grant Morrison doesn't make sense.
Man, my Final Crisis is sticky noted to hell. And that's the way I enjoy comics. So don't say anything.
I need to mark all the pages with notes.
Yes. Notes. That's why it's sticky. Yes. Notes.
I gotta say, too, crazy, Liam like, Sharp is doing amazing. Like, he really captured the Silver Age vibe of it, and then just doing all of the colors and... Or I think he does his own inks. He doesn't do his own colors. But just, like, everything's very Kirby-esque. Just, like, all the space stuff. There's a lot of circles and spinnies and spirals and all that jazz. It looks cool.
Any Tesseracts?
No. I think the coolest image was just when Hal finishes his Lantern Oath and then shoots his ring up into the air. It's very, like, 70s Star Wars. It's just a really cool comic. I'm interested to see where it goes.
So I'm going to give it a chance to more get into depth because like, it's kind of like Doomsday Clock One where a lot was just kind of thrown out there. Like, introducing the luck drives and antimatter and now they're like, yeah, here's all this new spectrum of lanterns and all of this shit. And another Hal Jordan who's just chest is open and you can see his innards and like,
okay,
cool. Let's see where it goes.
You said this was a mini, right?
I think so. I think it's a 12 issue.
Are we interested if this somehow ties back into like Doomsday Clock and everything?
No.
No? No chance.
I just think it's going to be like...
Just its own little...
Meanwhile,
Hal Jordan dicking around in space.
Pretty much. That's why he's not in the Justice League. I think it reminds me too, just because it's supposed to be just Green Lantern in space. It has a very big like Valerian vibe. Like, there's hardly humans he interacts with. Even when he does interact with these hobos off the side of the street, they are actually aliens. Like, everything is just like,
no, they're an alien.
They were one alien, five hobos.
Five hobos that he slammed together,
they did the trench coat thing.
Kind of.
Reverse trench coat.
If the trench coat somehow became five separate walking people.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Like, because even then, the end of the comic is, oh, Hal doesn't have his Green Lantern battery because it was taken for repairs. And then he goes off to Oa afterwards and they're like, Hal Jordan, we need you to investigate this crime. This is like a straight up noir thing where you get suspended from the police force. You hand over your badge and gun.
We need you back.
It's like, look, the Book of Oa. We can't read from it anymore. Someone's been tampering with it and you're the only one that can do this case. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, it's like, it can't be trusted anymore. It's like, cool. So police corruption.
We need someone outside the law.
We need someone who doesn't play by the rules. Hal Jordan.
And it's, again, it
Green Lantern,
the amount of depth that there is in this. Like, all of the aliens that appeared in this were previous alien species in the DC universe. And there's just so much going on. No wonder, like, you know, Liam Sharp got roped into this because he can draw like crazy. And then, of course, Grant Morrison being there, it's like, yeah, here's some funny jokes that I think are funny. Like, one lantern lost his middle finger and it just pops up periodically when he's talking to someone. So it looks like he's flipping him off. It's just like, oh, okay.
But the real question is, what the fuck was with the old couple in the car who were cool with the bum fighting world championship on the side of the road?
Yeah.
When Hal Jordan was fighting the five hobos, a couple drives up and the old man are like, don't give them attention. It's the bum fighting world champions. And then they just drive away, and the old lady turns out like, yeah, fight bums, you rule! I'm like, the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Okay, so I'm actually looking at one of the pages again, and...
That was when Grant Morrison was coming down from his acid trip.
So the Book of Oa has been tampered with, we can't trust it. It's literally Dr. Manhattan's symbol in the middle of it. I'm like, oh, okay, whoops.
Well then, so, what was that about it not tying to Doomsday Clock?
Hal Jordan goes to space. Dr. Manhattan goes to Mars.
Mars is in
coincidence.
Space.
So is Elon Musk, apparently. Yes.
What?
Elon Musk wants to go to Mars and bore underground.
Oh, I thought you were saying Elon Musk was currently in space.
Like, he's on the way to Mars.
That happened quickly.
Send me your memes. They give me fuel.
They said moth memes. Don't send those.
In reality, he was the one in the Tesla that got launched into space.
He was just the rocket man.
Of ruse. It's like, I've been sending tweets from space.
I am the rocket man.
Well, Rocket Man passed Mars last week. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh, the car did? Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Elon Musk in the car.
Wait, how the fuck did that get there so quick?
Just because it goes...
Yeah, but isn't it still like an 8-month journey?
I don't know. It's a car.
How the fuck did it get there so quick?
Well, it's a car on a rocket.
Even then. I need some science explanation. Neil deGrasse Tyson, explain, please.
Hold on. Let me...
When did he shoot that off? Was it was this year, right?
Yeah.
Was it the beginning then?
Huh. So see, when you were saying like it just goes from 0 to 100, like the entire story, it's we open at a precinct, the police chiefs, the guardians, ask the officers to report. Then we cut to Ventura, which is basically the big gambling casino area where trouble's brewing with a gang of higher crooks. The crooks engage bar quickly taken into custody. Later, as one cop goes to investigate a certain lead, he ends up dead. Meanwhile, the captured criminals escape from the transport vehicle and end up on our main protagonist, B. He comes across them and takes them down to the precinct. There, he finds someone that has messed with the records and that there's a dirty cop on the force.
God. It's a crime noir.
That's first issue.
Also, my favorite quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. People don't think the universe be like it is, but it do. Black science, man.
But I do.
I'm excited. I'm just curious what this means to all the other lanterns. Like, okay, where's Simon? Where's Guy? Kyle's going to be in Titans. John's on Justice League. Jess is on Odyssey. Where's Simon? Where's Guy?
Oh, fuck. There's an unofficial website where you can track where the car is.
Oh, neat.
See, where is the update? Bum, bum, bum. It says you could follow it. This bullshit.
This is an AR. Like, you have to hold your phone up to the sky. All right, Steve, you have anything else you want to talk about, Green Lantern?
No, I'm good.
Cool. So that brings us to Rawubi. Volume 6, Episode 3, The Lost Fable, the exposition episode.
Holy fucking shit. We know everything about the world.
So far.
Good lord, I can't believe it took 6 years to get these answers. Because, wow.
I mean, it's not like it was there all along.
But was it?
Some of the stuff could have
been. Kind of, but...
Like how in Mistral, that's where we were, at Haven, the vaults, the elevator vault,
yeah,
is literally Jin. Like, it's just a statue of Jin, and then it turns into the elevator down into the vault.
Oh, huh.
Cool.
Right? I mean, okay, but that's one season
from
it.
So, yeah, it was really cool because we got a lot of the information. I'm being as vague. Steve,
we finally know why Salem is doing most of what she's doing.
The math checks out. They launched the rocket in February of this year.
Okay.
And it takes about 300 days to get to Earth from Earth to Mars.
Okay.
So, math checks out.
Good job, Martian. So Salem being Rapunzel and then just going on an absolute war path.
She went from Rapunzel to I don't even know what.
To a witch. It was really interesting because it's like, just imagine the pure amount of trauma. Like, she goes to the God of Order, please bring my boy back to life. No, fuck you. Goes to the God of Destruction, brings him back.
Homie.
Lord of Order is like, nah, Thanos. And then God of Order is like, nah, brah, he's back. No,
reverse
Thanos.
Thanos. Reverse Thanos.
And it's just like, imagine witnessing someone die repeatedly in front of you and
imagine
how that's going to mess you up.
Imagine being the person.
Yeah, no.
Oh my God, I'm back.
Oh God,
I'm back.
I'm so sorry.
Make it stop. Let me die.
That's a Kane in a Marvel right now. Or not Kane.
Kane.
Ben Reilly.
Oh.
Who died 27 times.
Jesus Christ.
And that's why he went insane. Yay, Scarlet Spider. Yay. But like,
there's just so many cool things, like the Lord of Order is the Chinese Asian themed dragon, which represents peace. And then you get the Eastern dragon, which represents greed, which is, sorry, Western. It's to the east right now. You can say that about anything. I don't know. I'm tired, guys.
I don't think any of that.
Okay, I checked a Red Bull at 7 this morning because I was out of pre-workout. I think I'm crashing.
Yes, you are.
So it's really cool that the Western dragon that symbolizes greed is like the Lord of Destruction. And then we finally get, like, here's why the world is fucked.
Why there's Salem no magic, why there's
united
everywhere.
An army, and then they went hardcore Thanos.
By the way, we killed everyone.
What? Can you imagine what sitting there waiting for intelligent life to come back? Yeah, how long
I,
you have
that
to
is
wait?
One thing I'm like, all right, so how did life come back?
Organisms. Single cell yes. bacteria.
Just waiting. Whoa, you're bringing creationism into Ruby now?
You mean evolution?
Also, yes.
Technically both, wasn't it? Involved.
Yes.
I mean, they did show that the gods have the power to just
yeah,
make
I mean,
man.
They did say evolution. Yeah, they did say that the planet was their experiment, so.
And gods are fallible.
Yep. Also, we have the fact that it's like the planet's named Remnant because, you know, they're like, this is now a remnant
of what it was once yeah. was.
It's like, huh.
And then the god of destruction is just a dick and blows up half the moon on his way out.
I'm out.
Like, he could have just kind of looped around the moon and taken a different path. And up, it's like, fuck your moon.
It's interesting. The one thing I'm mildly upset about that we didn't get was the origin of Grimm, because they're just already there.
They were just, yeah, essentially just creatures of darkness.
Well, yeah, they've talked about where Grimm come from. It was just, it's darkness and the despair of humanity, and like, that's what it's born from.
So our house would be filled with Grimm.
And
probably.
The reason they're called Grimm is because the gods were the brothers Grimm.
Which is really cool. It keeps up with the whole fairy tale.
So many
tale.
Like small little details there. It's like, oh, wow.
And again, they've had this plan since volume one, which is just like, goddamn.
Monty's still with us.
Yeah, that
was Miles' first major contribution, was the two brothers storyline.
Mm-hmm. And the origin of the four maidens, that's a...
Their kids that horrifically died.
Yeah. Maybe.
Probably.
Well, and it goes to the essence of
never,
like...
We never see
they never actually
die.
Confirmed those were the maidens either. We just all kind of assumed because
they
it's
were
like,
four
oh, hey,
color-coded children.
No, they were the four maidens because no one else in the world could use magic except their four
point.
Daughters.
Yeah, I guess that's...
And the four maidens are the only other people who can use magic in the world.
Good point. Because they were the new gods.
Yeah.
They were color-coded.
Also...
So does that mean that's why Huntsmen are in teams of four?
Maybe. I don't know. That'd be a question for Ospin.
Yeah. And seeing Ospin's resurrections is kind of cool. Where it's like, it's not a total turnover
it
of
is
the
like,
soul.
Yeah,
like
it's like a mutual
share.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure everybody he's like done this with, they've had their, like, the complication that they are right now with Oscar. Or it's like they're fighting over control.
I don't know if they planned it the way they did, that like the two incarnations just flip-flop between the two voices.
I'm sure
like,
they did.
Like Ozma started off with Oscar's voice, then the first reincarnation was Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I'm
we're
sure
back to
that.
The Oscar voice.
It's really cool.
It's like, does every incarnation just swap the voice? Of like, it's like, all right, which voice am I this time?
So it makes me wonder, like, because usually you get three episodes in a World of Remnant, so I don't want us to have a World of Remnant.
No,
next week.
We don't need a World.
But at the same time,
no.
We usually don't get one during Extra Life weekend. This was a curveball.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
26 minutes.
Yeah.
Of pure
at the same
exposition.
Time, it explains why Ospin's been such a dick this whole time. It's like, oh no, he's just trying to. He knows the world is fucked. Yeah, he doesn't
like,
want this to happen.
He's my favorite kind of character. He's like the benevolent man who keeps secrets for the greater good. Like he's the evil Dumbledore.
Yeah, he's not like he's not just trying to like.
He's not even the evil Dumbledore. It's
he has been
trusted with essentially the fate of humanity, and
he knows
humanity would kill itself if they found the secret and reunited the four relics. So he's saving humanity from themselves. While being perceived as...
Like, this, he has his own goals. Like, he's trying to just be selfish. But no, he's not.
Like,
really not.
In reality, like, I'm saving you all from yourselves.
It's like, no, you will fuck this up.
And then they pulled the classic Jin move of, how do I defeat Salem? You can't. Dot, 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 dot. Someone else can.
Probably the silver-eyed girl right here.
Who
so.
Can stop? Because he said destroy. So it's like, maybe we could just stop her. Stay. Bad Salem. It's very interesting. Like, especially now that we have this whole love story connection between the two of them. And now, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to our team of girls. Because Yang already distrusts him. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause a further rift between them all.
I don't think so. I think, if anything, this will...
This clears the air,
yeah,
finally.
Yeah, this will help them.
I mean, they'll probably be pissed, like, why the fuck didn't you tell any of us this?
Because they did have the whole thing of, you preach to us about having trust in humanity, but meanwhile you're holding the tools against trusting humanity. You're hiding them.
Yeah, it is weird. Maybe it's like, and maybe it's that whole thing of like, nobody else can know this, because if it gets out, then we're all screwed.
We're fucked!
If the idea of these omnipotent artifacts gets out, a lantern that can answer any question you have.
True.
Granted, it's limited, but can answer any question you have. Or whatever the other artifacts do, the crown, the scepter, and the sword.
What's your favorite ruby ship?
What is the true and ultimate ruby ship? Bumblebee. White like, there is no one true ship.
Jokes on you.
They're teenage girls, maybe kind of calm down on making them want to fuck each other.
The season's going to be about Ruby and Weiss, though, just according to the intro. And that makes me very excited.
Well, because they're heading back to Atlas, which is... Yeah.
She spent so long trying to leave.
But it's okay. The rest of Team Ruby's with her now.
Yeah. It's going to be a very interesting season. If we're saying this already 3 episodes in, it's just going to be like, fuck yeah.
I mean, even just from the first episode in the opening, I was like, I'm sold on this season.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very, very good so far.
Like, they brought the perfect blend of the action from the previous 2 seasons with the lightheartedness of the first couple. 3 was just...
Like, we got to get this exposition here.
3 was a cluster of death and destruction and exposition.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like the biggest thing lacking in volumes 4 and 5 was just more forward story progression. Like, it was very minimal. It was like a very slow pace. And now it's just like, boom, here we go. This is everything. Now we can finally connect a bunch of these dots.
I think that's how the 2 trilogies of Ruby have been going, though. Because you look, the first, it kind of just it sets up the characters, kind of gets deeper into one single character story, which was Blake at that point. And then season 2 was getting a little more traction, setting things up. And then 3 was just like, all right, we've set everything up before. Go. And now this one, it was first season was setting up, or season 4 was setting up.
It's like, here's Ranger. Here's the aftermath.
Season 5 kind of like delved into everyone else's story to set them up getting together. And now season 6 is just, okay, we've set up part 2. Go.
Yeah. It'll be very great to see how the story keeps progressing. Go Rooster Teeth. They're doing so many cool things in life.
A new poker show coming out, which I'm excited for.
Board game that we need to play eventually. I might just bring it to school and ask a bunch of kids to play with me.
Do you kids know Ruby?
Okay, the kids at my school know Camp. And it's just like...
Just find the weebs.
Can we not have done Ruby or Red versus Blue even? Do we have to talk about Camp?
But Camp's amazing.
Yeah, but it's like...
Now,
it's not appropriate.
Now,
I talked to them about Riverdale, and I'm like, none of you should be watching this show.
I want you to really think about it. Of the kids you talk to, do you really want to discuss the intricacies of Ruby with them, or would you rather discuss the stupidity that is Camp with them?
I don't know.
Like, do you think your kids could have gotten into a deeper discussion like we just did about Ruby?
Well, we talk about Riverdale every week, and that's always a clusterfuck.
Well, Riverdale's trash, and we know it.
It's like, the kids are like, oh, Mad Dog lives. I'm like, no, Mad Dog died. That's why Archie's the new Mad Dog.
Yeah, Mad Dog lives in Archie.
Why do you think they said he died in the prison riot? He died in the Fight Club. Duh. Stupid kids. What do you mean the show's not inappropriate? And I can't say, Well, Archie and Veronica had sex in the shower last season.
You don't understand, like, half these fucking movie references they drop.
Not even Archie and Veronica had sex in the shower. Archie and Veronica and Betty and Jughead had sex next to a swimming hole.
They also had sex in the same
they
house.
They banged, okay.
Above each other and under each other. They as banged, above, okay. So below. Sure, that's not how that phrase should be used, but, you know.
Someone was above and someone was below.
Anyways, that's for sure. What do you guys know about Halloween?
About that much?
It's been going on for many a year.
They just keep calling it Halloween.
So, there are, I want to say, 5 timelines or 6 timelines of Halloween.
Jesus Christ.
So there's Halloween, the original, which is followed up with Halloween 2. Which is followed up with Halloween 4, 5, and 6. That's one timeline. Then there's Halloween 3, which are like, nah, this, we're trying to turn Halloween into an anthology series. Here's all these witches. Everyone ignores that one.
Okay.
Then there's Halloween, Halloween 2, and then Halloween H2O, which gets rid of everything about Halloween 4, 5, 6. And then after H2O is Halloween Resurrection with a... I think Busta Rhymes is in that. And Tyra Banks.
What?
It wasn't good.
It was not good.
Okay.
And Jamie Lee Curtis only did it because they promised her that after the end of H2O, there would never be a Halloween movie again. Because she beheads Michael Myers. But in reality, it wasn't Michael Myers.
It wasn't the real one.
And then he's Michael Myers kills her.
So is that how they like explain the plot for this one where he's been locked away?
No. We're going to keep going.
Okay.
Then there's Rob Zombie's Halloween. Totally new universe. Really great. Then there's this Halloween, which is a sequel to Halloween 1. So not only...
Like the original Halloween.
Yes.
OG Halloween 1.
So okay. 40 years after the first events of Halloween is this movie. So it gets rid of Halloween 2 through everything else. So no longer is Michael Myers secretly Laurie's brother, which was revealed in Halloween 2.
Is that
it just
Jamie,
gets rid of that.
Is that Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
But don't they allude to that in this one?
No. They make it offhand. It's like, oh, well, I heard this. And it's like, oh, that's a ha-ha-hee-hee Easter egg.
So how is her relation? Did they explain her, like, why she
he's psychotic.
Him? Yeah, she's the only survivor of
okay.
So
killing spree.
And the whole thing with Michael Myers, it's like, I think in Halloween 5, the director of that film was like, yeah, Michael Myers is actually like this huge pervert. Like he spied on his sister when he was 6 years old and then killed her. That's why he's so interested in these underage blonde girls. And it's just like, okay, director, you missed the point of Michael Myers just being this
like,
awful.
At least Rob Zombie went back to the Michael Myers is just a psychopath
who
killed his parents when he was a child.
Stabbing in the dark.
His daughter. Or
no,
sister.
His sister.
Yeah.
Killed his sister, and his parents came home to find him in the Michael Myers mash sitting on the porch with a bloody knife.
Yep. That's how it ends. What? So, this Halloween was directed, I want to pull this up. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do, Steve and I talked about it, like, super briefly, because I was talking about how, like, what day is Halloween? So, it's directed by David Gordon Green, who directed George Washington, All the Real Girls, Snow Angels, Undertow. He also then transitioned to comedy doing Pineapple Express, Your Highness, The Sitter. He directed some episodes for Eastbound and Down. He did some indie stuff doing Prince of Avalanche and Joe. And then he also did a few other films. So this Halloween he co-wrote with Danny McBride.
Interesting.
So I kind of was like, oh, well, it's the two stoners. Like, they kind of... There's certain jokes in there that I almost kind of like... That was a Danny McBride joke right there. Like, they just broke for comedic effect. Like, one of the opening scenes is, like, the father going like, oh, man, there's peanut butter on my dick. And I'm just like, why? Like, why?
But again, what if that wasn't even... Because, again, director worked on all of these projects.
Yeah.
That maybe he's like, hey, I'll slip it in there.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And Steve and I even talked about like, oh, yeah, Seth Rogen transitioned out of like the stoner films. He's writing and directing Preacher and he's a producer on that and so on and so forth.
He played Steve Wozniak in the Michael Fassbender, Steve Jobs movie. Yeah. He was fantastic.
So, but one of the big things is that, so originally this movie was supposed to be a two-parter, but they decided, well, if it doesn't do well financially, we'll just make it one part. And I, certain points of the film, it felt like two separate movies. Like, we have Laurie Strode, like, panicking. She's created this monster house, like, full of traps and everything else. And that's the reason why her daughter got taken away from her in the film, was because it was like, oh, this woman isn't mentally healthy. And she, like, she drives out to the prison when Michael Myers is supposed to get out. And his bus eventually flips over and gets turned out. And that's when he starts his murder spree. Actually. But it was like, well, did Jamie Lee Curtis do that? Like, did she break him out because she wants to kill him? Or was it the doctor in the film? Like, they even make a joke to it. It's like, oh, you're the new Dr. Loomis.
There was one trailer I saw. I was like, all right, I'll watch this, kind of get the base plot of when the guy going to Michael Myers in the mental prison. Mm-hmm.
The podcasters.
Yeah, with the mask.
Yeah.
It's just like, the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, it's like, oh, so... Their story, so they're podcasters. They go to Michael Myers in this maximum security prison before he gets taken out, and they're trying to get him to talk, and they're trying to investigate the murders, why Michael Myers did it, why was Laurie the only one who survived, and so on and so forth. And this is when all the killing starts, and it's very interesting because the killing just ramps up significantly. So the beginning of the film, he snaps the father's neck, he kills the kid by breaking his neck, and then he drives off in a truck. He goes to a gas station where the podcasters are, coincidentally. And he rips out the bottom half of someone's jaw.
God.
And then bashes someone else's head into the concrete so he can steal their jumpsuit so he doesn't have to look like a mental institution person anymore. And then he goes to the bathroom. Ladies room, mind you. And in the ladies room is one of the podcasters, and he just spills all the teeth in the ground in front of her and starts trying to open the door because he wants his face. He wants his mask back. And holy shit, the mask is so cool because there's a cut above the eye where Laurie stabbed him with a metal coat hanger. And then through the neck, there's another hole where Michael Myers gets stabbed with a sewing needle.
Jeez.
So that was really cool. Like, just really cool references to the previous film. And then Michael Myers has like five holes in his chest from bullets. So he goes in there, and her husband rushes in, and he just sees Michael Myers, tries to hit him with a crowbar. Michael Myers just picks him up, slams his head against the tiles. Jesus. Repeatedly, kills him. And then he kills her by smashing her head on the bathroom door, like the plastic stall. So she's dead. He gets his face back, goes off, gets back to, let's see what the city is.
Don't throw too many spoilers, because I still want to see the movie.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to, but this is the really cool thing. So he goes back to the town where all the murders happened originally, and he just goes on a murder spree. And it's kind of comedic just because it's like he walks into someone's house, gets a hammer, bashes their head in, puts the hammer down, upgrades to a weapon, stabs someone, puts that down, upgrades to a new weapon.
He's playing gun game.
Yeah, and it's so weird that he just ends up like... It's crazy just how much, like, back in, what, the 80s?
80s.
When this movie, 70s, when this movie first came out, like, it was scary that people had their necks snapped and they got stabbed. In this movie, people
died. Which one was the one where the person got lifted up with, like, a knife from their back?
It happened in this one.
God.
Where, like... Oh, a simple stab and they're dead, or a simple broken neck, they're dead. In this one, he like jabs someone through the throat and pins them to a wall. It's just like, holy fuck, what? So the movie progresses, lots of death, a lot of murder, and it gets to the final act. And in the final act, Laurie's character falls off the roof, much in the vein of Halloween 1, and she hits the ground. And Michael hears something, so he looks away. But then when he looks back, Laurie's body's gone. And then now it's like, oh man, Laurie's gone. What's going to happen? And it goes on and goes on and goes on. And like, Laurie's daughter's crying with her own daughter. It's like, oh no, Michael, please, Michael, please. And then Michael Myers appears at the staircase. She says, gotcha. And it's like, what? Total like emotional flip. Like, it seemed like the movie didn't know whether or not they wanted...
Who says gotcha? Is it...
Lori's daughter. And then Jamie Lee Curtis is behind her, appears out of the shower. It's like,
fuck.
Got you, Michael.
Spoilers.
Sorry.
I just said, weird... I want to see it.
I'm not going to say what's going to happen, but it's this weird tonal shift. Like, they don't know whether or not they want to make Lori and the rest of the daughters, like, true fashion scream queens, like, tragedy-esque characters, or are they these really badass heroes that have invented this plan this entire time? It's just, it lost me in the final act. I'm just like, okay, what story are they trying to tell?
I mean, I can kind of see why they didn't, like, make that obvious, because you've seen that before, where it's like, yeah, we're going to take down the villain, and then the villain's just like, nope, 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 nope.
Which is what half of that final act was, and then it's like, nah, gotcha, and it's just like, wait, what? And it's like, no, this wasn't a prison for me.
It was a prison for you.
And it's just like, why? Wait, what? Like, there's so many beats of that movie that I feel like could have been explained a lot better. Again, I'm not a writer. But, like, oh, explain that the new Dr. Loomis was the one who flipped the bus over so Michael could escape. Or maybe it was Lori who did it because she wants the chance at killing Michael. Because at one point during the movie, she's like, I've been praying for the last 40 years for Michael to escape so I could kill him. And then the police officer just looks at her. Really? 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 It's just like,
fucking white people.
You choose to make this prayer, but at the same point, you're hyperventilating and panicking that he escaped. Like, is that an act? Or is, like, what? I like the movie. It was a pretty good, okay horror film. And I really hope this kind of revitalizes the slasher films, because we're really in a big period right now where we're like, fuck original IPs. The 80s. Let's go. So, it's interesting, to say the least. I liked it.
Also, can we not say fuck original IPs? Can we have more? Because we're going to run into the same problem that we always do. People are going to get tired of all the 80s remakes.
But Halloween was good. Even though this is like the fifth timeline.
God. It's also from the 70s.
It's like 78. But Halloween, even then, was the one who spawned, like, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street from there. So, it was interesting, to say the least. I do like Michael Myers just being the walking refrigerator that he is. Because nothing can stop him. It's comedic. It's like, okay, we have to protect Laurie Strode's granddaughter who's in the back of this car. Oh, shit, it's Michael Myers. The cop hits him with the car. And it's just like, no, it's not even that. He just gets hit by a car and bounces. And it's just like, the person you're trying to protect from him is in your backseat, and you think this was a good idea, sir. Sir?
Sir? Explain.
Yeah.
How many times did they do the piano?
A couple of times. During one of the best scenes is just the murder montage in the neighborhood, because, again, it's him ramping up the evil constantly. And that part was really cool, because, again, a lot of the film, too, is a bunch of throwbacks. Like, Laurie's granddaughter is in school. She looks outside and Lori's just standing there. Or it's Lori appears from out of the shadows, or she disappears from the ground, or just there's so many callbacks to the original Halloween film that are inverted. Like, Lori's the one doing them. Like, instead of her hiding in the closet, she's the one searching through the closets because she thinks Michael's in there during the final act.
Weird.
It's cool. And I wonder, like, if they do a sequel to it, how?
I don't know.
What would they do?
Very interesting.
Because, again, her family goes off at the end of the story, and it's like, oh. Interesting. Because it ends in the same way Halloween 2 does, I think, where Laurie's granddaughter is just holding the Michael Myers knife at the end of the story. And it's like, oh, she's going to become the new Michael Myers. Or not. Who knows? You good, Steve? You don't know anything.
You just literally told me the end of the movie.
But you don't know how they
You
got
just
there.
Told me the fucking end and the lead up to the end of the movie.
You do the same thing to me when we do podcast movie talks.
Because you've seen most of the movies I talk about.
Well, you had a chance to go with me.
So, therefore, because I chose not to go out late on a night and spend
late, we got home at 8 o'clock.
Yes, because I chose not to go out at night and pay to see a movie, expensive movie at night. I'm paying night prices. Fuck that noise.
$14.
Therefore, I deserve to have the movie ruined for me.
Is that just the ticket?
That was the ticket, yeah.
Fuck.
I got $5 off my popcorn.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep to my like 1 o'clock Alamo Draft House $10 tickets. Those are
like,
nice.
This is the only time my coworker wanted to go.
Also, the movies I go see, you usually don't have any interest in seeing in the theaters or usually at all.
Fair. I apologize.
Are we going to see Creed 2 together, though?
You just haven't seen the first one.
I know. I have a week to watch it. Well, I'm going to try. Let's watch it next Friday.
Because I have the day off. Home. I might be home.
I don't have it installed that day, so.
But yeah, I might be home. All right, we'll watch Creed. And Rocky IV.
I know what happens in Rocky IV.
Do you?
Yeah, Adonis Creed is killed by Ivan Drago.
See, you're wrong already. It's Apollo Creed.
Adonis is right. This is Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, shit. We didn't talk about Michael B. Jordan. Sorry. It doesn't even have anything to do with Michael B. Jordan, but Pacific Rim is being turned into an anime.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
That was this week.
Was it?
Yeah.
It must have been our way this week.
And then the one dude directing Cowboy Bebop is doing an anime. I can't remember. Anyways, Halloween was pretty good if you want to check it out. It might be in theaters still. If not, wait till digital. I think it might even be a wait for a digital movie anyways. It was not worth $14.
Neat.
Yeah. I really hope slashers come back. I want a new Nightmare on Elm Street film because at least
it just sounds so brutal to watch. Like, I don't want to watch most
the
of
the death just play. Ramps. Like,
I don't want to watch
so
that.
Bad.
I really don't.
Like, one person dies because they get a flashlight shoved down their throat, so they look like a pumpkin.
Jesus, it's crazy.
See, yeah, I don't necessarily want a new.
I don't want that
Jason or a new Freddy movie. Or I want a new slasher. Like, because the Freddy story has been done into the ground. Like, between the original Nightmare on Elm Street series to Freddy versus Jason.
I mean, look at
to the reboot.
Look at the reboot was awesome, though.
Look at the Dead by Daylight guys.
Take a slasher from Dead by Daylight.
Yeah, like they created all new characters.
Or even Jason.
Also, wait, there was.
Once we got to Jason Takes Manhattan,
I think
that's when they jumped the shark and, like, pump the brakes, because they did Jason Takes Manhattan, then Jason X, where he was in space.
Rebuilt with nanites, by the way.
God.
Then they redid the series.
Then wasn't there, was it Freddy versus Jason?
Freddy versus Jason was after Jason Takes Manhattan, because like the post-credit scene or whatever was them showing Freddy Krueger picking up the Jason mask, I think.
Yeah, pulling it into hell or whatever dream world.
It was just him picking it up. It was the Freddy Krueger hand comes down, picks up the mask, and then it's done. It's like, oh, Freddy versus Jason. And that happened years later. And then.
But those are good films. Just because I like Freddy out of all the slashers, because he's not a walking refrigerator. Like, he's sassy, he has an attitude.
Right, but he's still just the immortal dream killer who may or may not have been a pedophile.
He was.
May or may not have been.
Allegedly.
Which is may or may not.
He was.
He was. Allegedly, he was.
Anyway.
But he has the coolest story because it's like, oh my God, why is this happening to us? All of our friends are dying when they go to sleep. Meanwhile, the parents are like, so we
about
killed
that.
The former janitor because the crime system said he wasn't a pedophile. But he was, we swear.
Allegedly. So now he's
sins
taking
of the
it out
father.
On all of you. So you're welcome. Peace. Have fun getting sucked into your bed and getting turned into a pile of blood.
Dream Warriors was the best movie. Jackie Earl Harley deserved a second chance at being Freddy. LeBron James is going to set to produce the new Friday the 13th film. Not joking.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
Before a Lakers game, he came out with like a Jason mask.
What the fuck?
And then announced he's going to produce the new film.
The shit?
It's like, fuck. Who's the big hotshot? Curry?
Yeah.
Like Curry owns part of a business that's doing like the palm phones, like small cell phones.
Why
kids believe in flat earth, by the way.
Yeah.
Because ball is life.
Anyways, I think that's everything.
There's one thing left.
Question.
Yes.
Who?
So, Roberto actually messaged us via Facebook about this, and
like you can too.
Yes. And I asked him, I was like, "Hey, do you want us to throw this on the show?" Even though I had answered on my side of it, why are you poking him?
Put that holy water away.
Try it. So Roberto says, "Hi guys, I like the content on your podcast. What would you say is your biggest challenge of having a podcast?"
Making sure we record every single week.
There, yeah, that is one challenge.
What was the thing you said first, so that way we don't repeat ourselves?
Shit. This is mostly like my personal take from it. I gotta pull it up.
My personal hell.
Well, I will say some days when Steve falls asleep because he sleeps like a rock, it's very hard to get you up.
I have sleep problems. I can't help it.
This is like
when
shit,
I lay down and I get there to take a nap.
I know.
I nap.
It's just like, fuck. It's like, now he's gone for the next 3 hours.
Hey, last time it was only an hour and a half. I know because my parents called before or right after I fell asleep. So I had a timestamp.
So some things I said is that it can be kind of hard to find some interesting things some weeks to weeks if we have like little to no news. It's been pretty decent with the holiday season starting to ramp up with all the things going on. So I also kind of feel like it's very difficult with a 40 plus hour week job to, especially Zach can relate to this as well, of trying to stay up on all the new pop culture stuff, just because I feel like I need to have an educated opinion on like all the new latest things, but at the same time, it's like so fucking hard to keep up with things now.
Oh yeah, especially when your 40 plus hour week job is just the plus mark at the end.
Yeah,
it's like I get home, I grade sometimes, or I stay at school really late. Like I was telling Steve, I'm like, yeah, dude, sports are over. I can leave at 4:15. But are you? I'm like, nope. I'm gonna stay late. So a lot of my media and my research comes from other podcasts that do daily stuff, and I'm like, those people are the insane.
Yeah.
So but
that's also their full-time job to do that.
Yeah, I think just being on constantly, even if it's for just 2 or 3 hours straight.
Yeah, like, it can be a little exhausting.
I'm not this much of an agent of chaos.
No, you are. Let's not lie. You are 100% an agent of
chaos.
Yeah,
but I know. Yeah, I can tone it down sometimes.
You can, but do you?
No, it's not fun.
Can't wait till we play D&D again. You just
my character's just gonna become a slasher villain.
Fucking Greg,
I will kill you if you do.
Well, we're going to a fucking. We're probably going to a manor next. So.
Oh no! You already went to the manor.
No, isn't there a new manor we have to go find? I can't remember where we left off.
I remember.
It was like vampires or something? I can't remember.
Vampires? What?
I don't think there were vampires. It's something vampire.
This isn't Riverdale.
Actually, there were vampires.
There were? Oh, it was werewolves. That's right. It was werewolves.
Werewolves, not werewolves. I think one of the biggest challenges, too, is just being up to date. Like you said, being up to date on news, but then when we originally started the show, we were like, we're a podcast on comic books and stuff, and we're going to talk about that stuff. And then I don't have time to read.
Yeah, it's very. That's also well, the thing.
There's like, only so much comic book stuff you can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, this person's writing this series and that series. And
yeah, and I mean,
here's like, my opinion on that.
That was one of the things I was iffy about when I started, was I don't read as much as you guys or know the artists or writers as well as you did.
They follow me on Twitter.
To the point where I was like, I don't have an opinion, so I'm going to make something up. But then once I got past that, I'm like, yeah, I'll say what I feel and be the comic relief.
Yeah, pop culture is just too hard. It's such a volume of things.
You honestly have to like pick and choose almost.
Yeah, even talking about like XO18, it's like, oh, this is really cool that this happened. Moving on.
Yep. Yeah, with the kind of going back to the comics angle too, is I feel like it can kind of get boring if like we don't add anything to our pull lists, like you're just talking about the same books over and over. I feel like that can get, especially when we first started, that cut, I felt like I was like, I gotta pick up something new every month.
Well, yeah, and I feel like that's why recommendations died out.
Yeah, just because it's like, well, it's...
We were only picking up the same things. Anything that got added was on at least two of our lists, so there was no... There was the pressure of like, well, I gotta find something new to talk about, something unique. Yeah. And every now and again, something would just pop up like that, but forcing it wasn't really the best.
Yeah. Also, getting the equipment the first time around was a kind of a pain.
Hey, man, we used to have one mic.
I know. That was...
Let's just re-record the first episode.
Oh, man.
Just pretend.
Just write a script.
Just write
a script out. Wait. Oh, no. Shit, go back. This was your
cut.
This was your cue right here. Come on. Wait, why is Steven here?
Speaking of scripts, this is a dumb thing. You get all the, like, scripted memes? Have you seen those?
No.
So it's an eSport meme of like, it started with League of Legends of Riot scripts their tournaments.
Oh, like WWE.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is scripted. WWE
is scripted.
The latest Smite World Championship. There's a video and one guy was interviewing. And was like, so what? How do you think this next match is gonna go? He's like, well, if I look at my script here, it says we're gonna 2-0 them, but. I don't know if you got this script,
well,
too.
It's like the Achievement Hunter joke of, like, when something happens, like, something oddly
like
out
no
of
way
the ordinary
this
and, like,
happened.
It seemed like it was so planned that it was like, oh, that must scripted. Have been, that was scripted. That was so scripted. You see that cringy scripted
well,
moment.
Well, no, it's like the force-handed thing, like, like you saying, like, the joke of them playing Worms, it's like, okay, Gavin, we need you to kill yourself here. And then there's some situations where I just kind of, like, watch what everyone else is doing, and I'm like... Hey, this will be funny if I do this.
And then they're all playing characters, but
yeah,
unlike us, we're not playing characters.
Oh, we didn't talk about Sunny. We'll talk about it next time.
You're the only one who's watched it.
It's great. I loved it.
Thank you, Roberto, for sending us that kind of behind the scenes question.
Yeah, so. Recording a podcast is hard, and only one of us edits it, so we go by Zach's schedule most of the time.
And Steve's sleep schedule.
Only occasionally, and that's because I have sleep apnea. I don't sleep worth shit. So if I get tired, I take a nap.
There are some days where it's like, it's 5 o'clock. We got to record now. 5 o'clock on a Sunday because we know there's not going to be time on Monday. Especially now.
Can we record one without me? I'm always curious about what that would be like. Especially, again, it's that weird transition that you were the host and then I became the host. And then,
I mean, if it lined up perfectly to where Steve and I finished Assassin's Creed around the same time, we could talk about that a bunch.
Well, it's like how
we're still,
you guys
were
playing
off.
Talking about Destiny. I was just on the floor.
It's true. There's also that. But that we also had Jim, Destiny knowledge extraordinaire.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Destiny. Activision says you're not selling enough.
Because they're trying to trick you into selling your IP to them. You're not selling enough, but if you just gave us the property, then we could probably boost those
sales
figures.
Look what we
did
with Call of Duty. We got rid of their campaign. You kind of don't have one.
Bite your tongue.
Harder.
All right, I want to see blood. Bleed for me.
Thank you guys for listening to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast. As always, you can hit us up on the Facebook, the Twitter, or
z2podcast.com/comment.
Thanks for reading your script correctly. With that,
Zach closes podcast now.
With that, you guys can also reach out, hit us up, and you can also leave us reviews, and we will read your reviews live on air. We've only ever done that once, which is really neat. And you can reach us out. And Brandon, I know if you're listening, I'm sorry we didn't talk about your Star Wars thing from like 2 weeks ago.
Did we not?
It was about the Mandalorian and Boba Fett.
Oh.
And we're running long already, so. We'll make sure to get that back out to you and talk to you about it. What else? If you leave us a review, we'll read it on air. And with that review, it will help us with the magical algorithm. Let us be more widely spread. And we can then start a pyramid scheme where you tell a friend, and then those friends tell a friend, and then we might take over the world.
Or
instead
of something illegal, maybe we'll get sponsorship deals.
Dude, I own everything from a podcast already.
You need Quip now. That's the latest one.
I was thinking about
it. Too fresh. I have to bend to it, to be honest.
You also need hymns.
No.
No, he doesn't need 4 hymns yet.
If they dye my hair gray, I would love that.
Just accept the silver hair.
I do.
I
just need more.
Just do what Sing did and go dye your hair silver.
I was told I wasn't allowed.
By who? Kayla?
My principal.
Oh.
Even though there's someone else in our school with gray hair. I would have to go blonde for like a week first.
So bleach. You would just do the... You'd have to do the Super Saiyan tree. It's like, go blonde with a little bit grown out hair. Fully grow it out, stay blonde.
Go blue.
You could go red, but then... Yeah, you transition just, like wear red and then back to black and then just kind of retcon it. Like, nah, I didn't wear that. Come on, and then dye your hair red for God, all right. And then go blue and then go gray for Ultra Instinct.
Love you, Internet. Bye.
But only after you create a galaxy and absorb that galaxy.